This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Harris. With me, of course, is Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at DanHarris80 and at Mike Tagliere NFL. Tags, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, we had a day full of football, which is something that I don't know if any of us could have said a couple days ago. It seemed pretty grim. So every Sunday that we have football, good or bad, I'm going to love it.
I think that's basically how I look at it as a Jets fan. It's like Thursday night. Great. I'll do that all day long if it means I can have football. But for now, it is our Sunday night recap. So we're going to get right into it pretty much and recap all the day's action. But before we do, let's talk about our new monster giveaway. Now, we are getting the winner for the old monster giveaway. I'm sorry, I've not been able to confirm the name yet. It's Tag's fault. We apologize. But the new one is very similar to the old monster giveaway, and it's going to be the easiest contest in the world to enter. Trust me. First of all, the details. A signed black and gold Aaron Jones Packers helmet. A $200 gift card to Pristine Auction. A $200 gift card to Porter Road Butcher. A package of fantasy football goods for your league's champion and your last place loser from Trophy Smack, and a 1 month subscription to Fubo TV. So, easiest way ever to enter a contest, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros, or follow us on Instagram @fantasypros, or follow us on Twitter @fantasypros. Any one of those things is an entry. Better yet, all three of those count as entries. You can triple your chances to win the giveaway if you do all three. Once you're subscribed and or follow us, submit your entry at fantasypros.com/contest and fill out the form. That's it. Follow us. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram or follow us on Twitter. Up to three entries. fantasypros.com/contest. Go get it. All right, Tags. I don't even know. I'm just trying to find new titles for the segment. We'll go with trust or bust. Okay. Here are some guys who had big performances today, and I want to know whether or not you can trust them going forward or whether or not you think they're going to be a bust. Now, I know pretty much how you're coming out on at least one of these guys, and that's this one, and it's Joe Mixon. 25 carries, 151 yards, and two touchdowns, plus six targets, six catches, 30 yards, and a touchdown. We have been desperately waiting for this. And this comes off, by the way, the report on Saturday of like, oh, by the way, added to the injury report with the chest injury. So this is what we've been waiting for. Are you trusting Mixon here going forward?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was a buy low. We talked about it all week on the show. We talked about it in articles. We did all that stuff. And it was obvious. You know, I talked about in the primer, I said that he was the RB34 last year through seven games. Don't panic. The most promising part of this game is that they used him in the passing game. Giovanni Bernard didn't have a single target. Joe Mixon had six of them. Like, if we can get that going forward, Joe Mixon's going to be a top eight running back for the remainder of the season, maybe even top five. So Mixon, I hope you bought low because your opportunity just slammed shut.
Do you worry at all about the fact that this was a game that they were playing from ahead for the most part? And Bernard is the guy who seems to come in when they're really trying to catch up. They're not going to be playing from ahead all that often. So is it something that you worry about? I mean, is his usage in the passing game, you think something that they can be like, oh, look, this works? Or is it something that was really just game script dependent?
Well, to be fair, they were at halftime, they were actually losing this game. So they weren't ahead the whole entire time. It was a neutral game script for what I would call, you know, 75% of it. So it wasn't like a game that was a blowout in either way. Obviously, if it was a blowout, you'd just see more carries for him. He had 25 carries in this game. This is the first game that they were actually favored to win. I am still worried about this offensive line. But again, when it comes to the running back position this year, you have to understand, I mean, there's not a whole lot of guys that are guaranteed production. You know, you look at guys like Kenyon Drake today. Kenyon Drake was a monumental bust. I mean, I'm sorry to all of those of you out there who started him over other proven options and guys that, I mean, I wasn't alone in this, but I still want to take my part and say I'm sorry about it. I've lowered my expectations for Drake. I've lowered my expectations for that entire team. Duff Kingsbury just doesn't understand the basics of football, it seems like, because that's a team that would get down to the 1 yard line and then they're throwing pitches, like tosses, you know, 5 yards back to Kenyon Drake. Like, oh, get to the edge because we have such good blocking. Run the ball down their throat. That Carolina team, I mean, I can go on a rant here, but I am not.
You know, we are going to cover that entire game, Dags. You don't have to do it now if you
I'm
don't
not
want.
Worried about. No, I'm not worried about Mixon. The fact that this team will be in a lot of negative game scripts, but at the same time, as Joe Burrow continues to grow, this offense will continue to score points. I'm not worried about Mixon, especially in the fact that he got 6 targets today to Giovanni Bernard's none. Like, that is fantastic.
Yeah, this is great. And this is why it's really difficult to not overreact, but especially this year when teams are figuring it out on the fly, especially you have a new quarterback, you have no preseason games. So when you got to exercise some patience. How about Odell Beckham Jr. here, trust or bust? We loved him this week, all of us coming in. We said this was the week that he was going to have a big thing. He did have the back injury earlier, you know, that he was on the injury report, but he played and he played well. 8 targets, 5 catches, 81 yards through the air, and 2 touchdowns. One was thrown by Jarvis Landry, oddly enough. Great throw, actually. 2 rushes, 73 yards, and a touchdown on the ground with that big late run. A one-off, a sign of things to come, trust or bust?
Well, it depends on the... This one's tough to say because I'm not going to say Beckham's a bust, but I will say that I am of the mindset to sell Odell Beckham after this performance because this is a team, going back over the last 3 weeks, they've now thrown the ball just 76 times. That's not going to be enough. That's not going to be even close to enough. This team clearly wants to run the ball under Kevin Stefanski. Even in a game where obviously they scored as many points as they did, would Beckham walk away with 8 targets? So he didn't like see a monumental volume. This is a Cowboys team that was allowing the most, and it wasn't even close in terms of fantasy points per actual pass attempt. I thought Baker Mayfield was going to be a good start this week because of that. I figured that Dallas would actually win this game, though. Shame on me. But either way, Beckham is going to be a wide receiver 2 for me for the remainder of the season. He's going to be a volatile wide receiver 2, one that presents, you know, top 10 upside any given week because he's really damn good. But clearly under Stefanski, this team does not want to throw the ball more than like 30 times per game.
Right. Yeah. I had him at 26 coming in. I've faded him most of the year. I liked him. Not this week. This week I had him much higher, but for the rest of the season, I had him 26. I don't really know how much I'm going to move him, if at all, after this game. I'll probably move him up a couple of spots. But yeah, this is just kind of a one-off type game for me. Not a bust, so long as you have the proper expectations, in my opinion. But some people are still valuing him sort of close to a wide receiver 1, and I don't think so. So if you can sell him high off this game, I certainly would. Final one, trust or bust. Tre'Quan Smith catches all 4 of his targets, 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. He got banged up a little bit at one point, but he came back in the game. The big thing here for me, no Jared Cook, no Michael Thomas. Can he be a viable wide receiver when they come back, trust or bust?
No, it's a bust for me. Emmanuel Sanders is still out there operating. Those two are going to split the opportunity. Both of them are going to be very difficult to trust. Even Emmanuel Sanders, again, a guy that played a pretty good game today. But Drew Brees, it looked like he came around a little bit, but still, Brees is not hitting that deep ball. He's not throwing the deep ball. He's not throwing the ball over 20 yards. Therefore, you're going to be relying on volume to wide receivers. And once Michael Thomas comes back, we know that he's going to see at least half the targets that go to wide receivers. So this is a bust for me.
Yeah, I agree. He's a fine fill-in now when they're down chips. But when they come back, yeah, I agree. He's not going to be someone you can rely on. All right, let's get to what's your problem, man. I told you before we start recording, it's a week for what's your problem, man. If we had our situations reversed, you would be able to what's your problem, man, the heck out of this segment for me. But we're going to go to you, so this is what I've got for you. Dalton Schultz, you had him 23rd coming in your rest of season tight end rankings behind guys like Chris Herndon, Jordan Akins, Rob Gronkowski. 4 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown. Since taking over after the injury. 8 targets, about 6 catches, 65 yards. He's got some scores. He's kind of filling the Blake Jarwin role. What's your problem, man, with Dalton Schultz?
Honestly, this is a little bit of an oversight on my part, but it's more to do with the fact that I didn't think that the Cowboys' volume would be that high throughout the season. Like, we're seeing Dak Prescott throw for 400 yards every single game. Now it's like three or four games he's thrown for over 400 yards, I think. That's ridiculous. That's not going to keep up. So it was more like I wasn't as high on Schultz as everybody else, but I probably wasn't high enough, to be fair. He did hurt himself at the end of that game. I don't know if it was anything serious. I haven't followed up on that because I'll, like, catch injuries as they happen, but it's something to pay attention to because clearly that tight end position has a role. And it's kind of like the whole CeeDee Lamb thing, right? Where I don't think CeeDee Lamb is doing anything special on the field in terms of what I've seen. What I'm seeing is a guy benefiting from the fact that you have Amari Cooper out there. You have Ezekiel Elliott out there. You have Michael Gallup stretching the defense. I mean, the touchdown to Lamb today, the first touchdown, I should say, was like basically him ran a seam right down the middle of the field and nobody covered him. He just, it was a missed assignment. It was an easy touchdown. So, I mean, that's how it's going to go with this offense. They're not going to throw the ball that much. But again, this is a team that clearly has a bad defense. And they're going to be involved in a lot of shootouts. And that equals a lot of fantasy points. So I was too low. You're right for calling me out on that one.
Yes, I knew it. Yeah, everybody seems to be benefiting from this defense except one guy on that offense that we'll talk about in a little bit. But not right now. Right now, we've got one more. What's your problem, man? And it's Justin Jefferson. I know we were both cautious with him coming in, but you had him 65th in your rest of season rankings. That surprised me when I saw it just because you did seem pretty bullish on how he was going to be, even if not this week. Long term, 5 targets, 4 catches, 103 yards. Both he and Adam Thielen have big days here. Are you starting Jefferson every week? And more importantly, what's your problem with Justin Jefferson?
I do not think that he's someone that you're going to start every single week. I think that he's a guy that's climbing into that wide receiver 4 conversation. I've actually moved him up to wide receiver 47. Now, it's this Vikings offense, the defense, if they take a step forward, and today they took a slight step forward, not a big one, but they took a step forward against Houston. They slowed down that offense a little bit more than I think any of us thought they would. And then if you're going to get the Vikings to run more plays, because through the first couple weeks, they ran like 48 plays per game. We saw more in week 3. We saw a little bit more in week 4. And it's like, okay, Justin Jefferson's on the fantasy radar in those weeks. This is still Adam Thielen's team in terms of the number one target. Dalvin Cook hasn't been extremely involved in the passing game. I do like Jefferson, the fact that he's playing that slot role, because over the course of Kirk Cousins' career, you go back to Jamison Crowder, you look at even Pierre Garçon when he was there playing in the slot, and then you fast forward to Adam Thielen when he was the slot wide receiver for the Vikings, even Diggs when he played in the slot. And it's continually a position that's give, give, give. So I am moving him up in my rankings. I have him at 47. I don't think that I would take him over someone like, you know, Darius Slayton. I just can't guarantee the targets that he's going to get every single week. I can see the case where you could bring him up as high as like 42, wide receiver 42, but he's not an every week start. He's more of like a bye week guy, or if, you know, COVID strikes its ugly face and knocks a few games off the slate, that's basically when you could use a guy like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I'm 47th coming into this week. I'll move him up a bit, but, you know, I'm not... I don't want to overreact to what we've seen the last 2 weeks. I do think that there's going to be value there, but I don't think he's going to be quite into that wide receiver 3 territory that people are going to want to put him in. And I think if you can sort of sell high on him after these last 2 weeks, I would definitely try to do that.
Who would you rather have going forward, Brandon Cooks or Justin Jefferson?
Oh, no. Yeah, Cooks is obviously on the list. I think it's got to. Well, no, I'm not even going to debate it. It's Jefferson. For me, I mean, I don't think there's any reason to have Cooks on your team anymore, Tags. I mean, do you disagree?
No, it's difficult. That's a game I'm going to go back and watch and find out what happened. Because because when there's so many games going on, it's difficult to watch all of them. So that one was kind of like in the background. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. I didn't play a whole lot of guys in DFS from that game. I've seen some of it, but I think he only saw 3 targets in the game, which is
3
obviously
targets, correct.
Worrisome, didn't catch any of them. It was always worrisome that he didn't have an offseason with Deshaun Watson, that they didn't have really, like, but he's been a guy that's consistently switched teams and performed. So I was like, all right, he's someone that you can grab, and he's flashed. It seemed like he was growing in that role, and all of a sudden, Kenny still starts getting snaps again, and it's, yeah, not good.
Stills caught the touchdown today. My worries on him were really the concussion. It wasn't about how he was going to fit into that offense. So the fact that he is not fitting into that offense at all and basically being ignored is really worrisome. So I would move on. I was ready to start him as a streamer this week, especially given the COVID concerns and everything like that with all the games. But other than that, long term, I wasn't really all that excited about him at this point anyway. Before we move on, you know, sometimes with DFS or even your season long teams, it's tough. You have a great lineup, but your opponent or others in your contest, they just wind up with a better one. There's nothing you can do about that. unless you take the opponent out of it and just play against the numbers. And that's what you can do with Prize Picks. Pick 2, 3, or 4 players, predict whether they will go over or under their fantasy projection. Things like, will DeAndre Hopkins go over 100 receiving yards in a touchdown? If you think so, and you're right, you win some cash. And if you get 4 predictions right, you can win 10 times your money. Entries are simple. You make them in less than 60 seconds. Just sign up today at prizepicks.com or in the Prize Picks app, use code PROS to get 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy simplified. Let's get to the games here. Let's start with the Saints 35, Lions 29. Saints overcome all the injuries. Alvin Kamara, 119 total yards and a score. Latavius Murray, 14 carries, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus a 19-yard reception. No Michael Thomas or Jared Cook here, so we talked about Traquan Smith with a nice day. And Emmanuel Sanders, as you mentioned, 9 targets, 6 catches, 93 yards. Soft defense here, tags to go against. But Murray and Sanders, and we talked about, you know, maybe not Smith. Can any of them be guys you start consistently going forward?
Consistently? Probably not. But we did talk about it. If you guys don't listen to the DFS show, Dan and I talked about it. And I said Latavius Murray was someone that interested me a little bit because it felt like he could fall into the end zone twice. And because he has only coming into this game, he'd only had 1 fewer target than Alvin Kamara on the season. So it was like or 1 fewer carry. So they're being almost used in that timeshare that him and Mark Ingram were being used in. And I wanted to ask you a question on the show. What is the difference? I don't have your rankings in front of me, but what is the difference between Mark Ingram and Latavius Murray right now? I think Latavius Murray might be worth more.
Yeah, it's a great point. So coming in, I had them because I take a snapshot of where we have them before the week starts. I had Ingram at 28th and Murray at 36th. And even though Ingram scored the touchdown today, that gap is closing. I don't even really know who I'd prefer going forward, because the Saints are going to do this. Now, they do want to get back to what they were doing really before last year and before Kamara got hurt. They're relying on the run. Their defense isn't as strong, but they're relying on the run. And Mark Ingram, you know, he tops out at 10 carries, 10 touches, you know? So, yeah, I don't know. Are you going to have Murray higher than Ingram?
I put him right. I was actually going through it because I do my buy, sell, hold, and drop and all that stuff every week. And I moved Ingram all the way down to RB29. I have Murray at RB30. So I have them right next to each other. I think J.K. Dobbins, his role should only grow, whereas Latavius Murray, it's clear him and Alvin Kamara have roles together. And this offense should get better as Drew Brees hopefully starts to come around once Michael Thomas gets back in the lineup.
Yeah, now Ingram did score a touchdown today and Dobbins wasn't all that involved. So we'll get to that game in a bit. But yeah, I'm just not. I keep wanting to think that Ingram is going to get more and it's not happening. And Murray, very encouraging today for sure. Let's go to the Lions here. Stafford does throw 3 touchdown passes, 1 to Kenny Galladay, who winds up with 62 yards, 1 to DeAndre Swift, who totals 52 yards, 1 to TJ Hockenson. He has just 9 yards. Adrian Peterson also rushes for a touchdown. Marvin Jones, 1 catch for 9 yards, just continues to be completely invisible this year. We said you could basically drop him other than on Thanksgiving. I don't know, Tags, what do you want to say here about the Lions? Is Swift going to get more work? Do you want to talk about how Adrian Peterson, somebody you can start in a pinch or what?
No, we saw Swift's role growing throughout the passing game, and it was almost like going into last week's game against Arizona. It was like, all right, this is going to be a game they're going to use him in the passing game, and he seemed like he would be the best start, and then he ends the game with nothing, like legit nothing. He was on the field for 6 snaps. That's terrible. And then all of a sudden he comes out and catches a touchdown. It's like, oh, all is forgiven. It's not. This is not a backfield you want to attack. Clearly, they're going to use Adrian Peterson quite a bit. They still have Kerryon Johnson on the field. It's basically touchdown or bust for any of these guys, and that's not something you want in your fantasy lineup. The biggest thing for me to take away from this is that Marvin Jones, I mean, he has to be considered droppable, right? Like, I would rather,
he was droppable last week, Tags. Yeah. We talked about it, man.
Well, but the thing is the Saints were down 2 starters for this game. They're 2 top cornerbacks, Janoris Jenkins and Marshawn Lattimore. The matchup was even better than it was supposed to be. So to see 2 targets, 1 catch for 9 yards, that's pitiful. TJ Hockenson only saw 4 targets. Fortunately, he came down with 1 for a touchdown, and then he came out with a 2-point conversion that was like stupid. Like, he should not have caught that ball, but he did. I want to see him get more targets in this offense. I really do, because he's been really good with the targets he's gotten this year. But this is a team that might have a new head coach relatively soon. I don't know how much longer they can stick with Patricia.
Yeah, well, they have a bye next week as well, so it's certainly not something that you should feel the need to hold on to Jones to see if you can go. There are plenty of guys on the wire who you might be able to start over him. He's just really not getting it done. Bucks 38, Chargers 31. Kudos to Brady. here. I mean, he was down Godwin. Mike Evans got banged up. He looked bad at the start. 369 yards and 5 touchdowns, 1 each to Evans, Scotty Miller, Keyshawn Vaughn, Cameron Brate, and O.J. Howard, who unfortunately is carted off with an Achilles injury. Sounds like he's out for the season. Meanwhile, no Fournette. LeSean McCoy gets injured, and Ronald Jones, 20 for 111, plus 9 targets, 6 catches and 17 yards. Are you trusting, and I'll use that word loosely, Ronald Jones going forward?
Sell, 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 sell. If you watch this game, Ronald Jones looks good on first and second down. I'll give him credit for that. He actually does look good. He was pathetic in the passing game today. It was bad. He had 9 targets. He caught 6 of them for 17 yards. The three that he didn't catch were all drops. It had nothing to do with Brady. Like, he dropped them, like, just flat out dropped. That's why we saw Keyshawn Vaughn actually even get on the field to begin with. Obviously, the injury to McCoy didn't help. But I am selling Ronald Jones as fast as I possibly can if you have him. And it's not to say that you should give him away, because running backs are extremely valuable. Like, knowing that they're not going to fully go to Fournette at any point, it seems like this is going to be a timeshare 50-50 at best right now. Running back depth is more important than it's ever been. And I want to touch on this, Dan. I want to tell people that are listening to this right now, go out and trade for Le'Veon Bell. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, that is the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Why would I want any part of that Jets offense? Why would I part of Adam Gase? Gase might not be there for much longer. I don't know. But what I'm saying is that I think we saw this week, more than any other week I've played fantasy football, have you taken a look at the landscape of running back in your league? Like, the players that people, like, I'm hoping that Rex Burkhead plays tomorrow night, because I need him to play. In this season, there's going to be a lot of ups and downs. Depth means more than anything. It's easy to find wide receivers in the waiver wire that you could just throw on your team. It is not easy to find running backs that are going to get 15 touches per game. Le'Veon Bell is one of those guys that's not sexy. I get it. But people are probably, they're probably willing to give him away.
Yeah. So this is something I do, the trade chart every week, tags. And I, you know, my values had James Conner worth the same, not in PPR, but in half and in standard, as DeAndre Hopkins. And somebody asked me, be like, you really think a guy like Conner is worth a guy like DeAndre Hopkins? And I said, yes, because I think that at that point, when you're looking at the top 13, maybe 14 running backs at this point, running back is terrible right now. And you've got the additional concerns. You can, I'm not saying I'd run out to make that deal or anything like that, but if that deal went down, I'd be completely fine with it, because I do think at this point, your point is absolutely correct. You need to be concerned about running back depth much more than anything else. I mean, even this weekend, even with everything that was going on, I was like, okay, well, I can pick up Cole Beasley off, you know, off the waiver wire, or Hunter Renfrow or something like that. There are always guys there that you can get by. It's not the same with running back. So I think your point is good. Let's go to the Chargers here. The big news is the Austin Eckler injury. We don't know the details of it, other than it appears to be both a hamstring injury and a hyperextended knee. And Schefter has already said that he is expected to miss multiple weeks. So talk about Joshua Kelly, Justin Jackson, a terrible day, as you might expect, against the Bucs run defense. 13 carries for 16 yards combined, chipping a little bit in the passing game. But how do you view both of these running backs going forward?
I mean, Joshua Kelly's lost some steam over the last couple weeks. Last week didn't do a whole lot against the Carolina game. And then this game, obviously, against Tampa, it was a brutal matchup. I didn't rank him very high. And then I saw when Eckler went down, I was like, you got to be kidding me. Because I was like all out on Joshua Kelly this week. And fortunately, he didn't let me down. He played horrendous against a really good defense. Like, the Bucs have allowed under 3 yards per carry ever since Arians took over as the head coach last year. So that's just ridiculous. But I'm just pulling up the upcoming schedule for them. They're playing at New Orleans. That's going to be a brutal matchup for him. The Saints are almost, they're not as good as the Bucs on the ground, but they're really damn good. They're not a team that you run the ball against. After that, it's the Jets, who are better against the run than people give them credit for. I know that they've allowed a couple big runs this year that have propped up those numbers, but it's not a great matchup. So then you're looking at, like, the third week is Miami. That's fine, but Eckler might be back by then. So Kelly, I'm not going to go, like, all out and say that he's someone that you should definitely go out and target in a trade. I have him as, like, RB32 for the remainder of the season, so I'm not particularly high on him. I'd actually be curious to see. I think Justin Jackson's someone that you should probably add on off the waiver wire right now, because if Kelly struggles, like, next week, they could start to give Justin Jackson a bit more work.
I just think they don't want to give it to one guy anyway. So if Eckler's going to be out, I think both of them are going to factor in. But yeah, it does look like Eckler's probably going to be out for a while. So you do need to make other arrangements. Let's go in the passing game. I mean, Herbert throws 3 touchdown passes, a 72-yard strike to Jalen Guyton, a 53-yard strike to Tyron Johnson, and a 19-yard strike to Donald Parham, somebody who I will be honest, I did not know. I couldn't really remember his name when it first came up. I said, wait, I misread that or something like that. One catch for each guy. Meanwhile, Keenan Allen sees another 12 targets, 8 catches, 62 yards. Hunter Henry quiet, 2 catches for 39 yards. not sure there's much to say here, Tags. I mean, Keenan Allen's going to continue to see the targets, and he's a solid wide receiver too going forward, right?
Yes, but he's also a sell candidate because Anthony Lynn is not smart. Anthony Lynn is talking about going back to Tyrod Taylor once he's healthy, and that's stupid. Justin Herbert, I wasn't even high on Herbert, so this has nothing to do with take lock or anything like that. I was not high on Herbert. I didn't think he should start right away. He's looked fantastic in some brutal matchups, like terrible matchups, and he's walked in, and Lynn's excuse for not wanting to stick with him, we lost those games. Well, I'm sorry, Anthony. If your quarterback plays extremely well, like Herbert has, and you lose those three games, that's coaching. Or just not enough talent on your team, one or the other. Tyrod Taylor's not going to change that. So I'm actually selling Keenan Allen because I believe Anthony Lynn's going to go back to Tyrod Taylor, and that's actually going to hurt the stock. If we knew Herbert was a starter for the remainder of the season, Keenan Allen would be a borderline top 12 wide receiver for me for the remainder of the season. Like, he's getting tons of targets from Justin Herbert.
Let me ask you something. Where did you have Keenan Allen, if you can remember, ranked heading into the season at draft day?
I moved him up because they started having more injuries, and it was like there was a lack of the wide receivers between him and Mike Williams. It was like there was nobody else in that depth chart, so it was going to be very concentrated to those guys. So I ended up bumping him up to like 125, 130 targets in my projections. So I ended up getting him right around, I think it was right around wide receiver 20 or wide receiver 22.
Okay, so why do you think it's so bad if Tyrod Taylor is in there? And I'm asking that honestly because we have one game to go on where he didn't get targeted all that much. But I feel like fantasy managers out there, and this is why I want to ask you where it's come from, are drawing these huge conclusions from that one game. Like, suddenly Mike Williams is going to get targeted all the time downfield, and Keenan Allen's going to be quasi-ignored, and Austin Eckler wasn't going to get all these targets. You really think Tyrod Taylor is that much worse for Keenan Allen's prospects?
It's because it goes back to what Tyrod Taylor did when he was with Buffalo. When he's with Buffalo, he took shots down the field. That's when Sammy Watkins was known as a field stretcher. And he did it then. And then he targeted his tight end. That's exactly what we saw in the week one. It was like Tyrod Taylor went back to exactly what he did in his Buffalo days. He targeted Mike Williams down the field a ton. They didn't connect a whole lot, but he threw him up one-on-one balls like continually. Henry had a big game. So I'm not going to say Keenan Allen's someone that you should just get rid of just to get rid of. I still think he's a wide receiver too with Tyrod Taylor. But I think right now, people might be viewing him as something more because Herbert's under center. I'm just worried about Herbert not being under center.
All right, before we keep going, let's talk about Pristine Auction. You hear us talk about our giveaways with our signed helmets and our jerseys. All of that comes from Pristine Auction because that's the only place that you should be going for sports memorabilia. They auction off only authentic items from the most trusted sources. It is free to register. It is free to bid. And while signed jerseys and signed helmets are plentiful, you can get anything there. My kids love the song We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel. They insist on me teaching them about everything he lists. And at one point, he says Mickey Mantle. So despite being a Red Sox fan, my son wanted to learn everything about Mickey Mantle. And so I had to teach him about how he probably would have been the greatest ball player of all time had he not been injured and taken care of himself a little better. And now he's obsessed with Mickey Mantle. So when I got bored one day, I checked Pristine Auction. Boom, Mickey Mantle bobblehead and baseball card together. I put in a bid. I got it for a ridiculously low price, and now I am the best dad ever. Seriously, pristineauction.com. Easy, free to bid, free to browse, a ton of signed jerseys and signed helmets, and really anything you want to get. Check it out, pristineauction.com. You want $5 in free credits? Use our code FANTASYBROS in the registration field when you sign up. They'll also know that you heard about them from us. Again, that's pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYBROS. Let's go to Panthers 31, Cardinals 21. You mentioned Drake. People were talking. I did an AMA on Reddit this week, and I got so many questions about Drake. And people were so worried. And I was like, what, this is a thing? People are really all this worried about Drake? I get it hasn't been a great start for him, but he's getting, 16, 20 touches, whatever he's getting every single week. Stop worrying about it so much. It's going to be a great week for him. And as you mentioned, it wasn't. He got banged up at the end of the game, but 13 for 35 on the ground, zero targets. Meanwhile, Chase Edmonds, 4 for 16 on the ground, 6 targets, 5 catches, 24 yards, and a touchdown. What's 0 to 10? What's your worry level on Drake?
7 or 8. I think it's a combination of a lot of things. The offensive line, them wanting to use Kyler Murray more in the run game this year, and then the play calling was atrocious. The design runs are just not very good. Then you add in the lack of passing game usage, and then it's like just like a trifecta of crap. I don't get it, though. I don't know why they're not using him in the passing game, because that's something that could help boost Kyler Murray's numbers. Kyler Murray is like, he threw 31 times today for 133 yards. You go back to last year. This is a guy over his career. He's averaging under, I think, 6.8 yards per attempt. That's terrible. Like, that's legit, like Mitch Trubisky type bad numbers. But he's propped up in terms of his rushing totals, and that's what makes him an attractive fantasy option. But not targeting Drake in the passing game. If you go back to Drake in Miami, he was known as like the third down back, a guy that excelled in that passing down role. You go back to him in college, he could play all three downs too. So I don't understand it. Why'd they put the transition tag on a guy that they really don't want to involve in all three downs? I don't know. So there is definite panic with me, but I'm not suggesting. I guarantee you, if you have Kenyon Drake on your team, there are going to be people that come to you this week and ask you what you want for him. Do not just give him away, because I talked about it already with Le'Veon Bell. Kenyon Drake has still totaled 72% of that team's touches between him and Chase Edmonds. So it's not like it's a 50-50 or 55-45, anything like that. It's still a running back that you can plug in your starting lineup. We just have to lower expectations is all. So if you plug him into your lineup expecting, you know, high-end RB3 numbers, flex-type numbers, you won't be so disappointed. This was disappointing for sure, and probably the reason I didn't win a lot of money in DFS today was because of Kenyon Drake.
Yeah, well, I just want to make it clear before we just let that phrase go that I will definitely be naming one of my fantasy teams trifecta of crap, because I think that's a great way to put it. The offense just looks out of sorts right now. And I mean, Murray is saving his fantasy day, 6 for 78 on the ground. He does throw 3 touchdown passes, ridiculously. One to Edmonds, as we said, one to Christian Kirk, one to Jordan Thomas. But your leading receiver was DeAndre Hopkins, who played through the ankle injury, 9 targets, 7 catches, just 41 yards. Yeah, it's not good. And realistically, I mean, I assume you just write this one off for Hopkins at least, right?
Yeah, he didn't practice all week. He was considered highly questionable. And it was clear that he wasn't 100%.
Tags, who's the best receiver to roster in Carolina?
That's a good question. And it's one.
Thanks.
It's a question I brought up in the primer this week. I said that I feel guilty about it because I went to my rankings and I was doing my rankings and I put DJ Moore up there at like wide receiver 16. And then this is for the week, by the way. And then I got to Robbie Anderson and I was like, oh, you know, he's wide receiver 3. It sounds about right. Like wide receiver 30-ish, right around there. And then I was like, I look at the numbers and you look at it and you see Robbie Anderson now after this game has 2 more targets than DJ Moore. He's got 10 more receptions. He's got almost 100 more yards. He caught the only touchdown between these two. At what point do we say, this is not the same team it was last year? DJ Moore's not the same coach. It's a different quarterback. It's a different offense. Robbie Anderson's not with the Jets anymore. He's not under Adam Gase anymore. We could chalk this up to another Adam Gase loss.
I mean,
I still think DJ Moore is the best buy, one of the better buy lows in fantasy football right now.
I agree with that.
I'll say that he's the number one, but the gap is so much closer than people think. And Robbie Anderson's an every week starter.
Yeah. I mean, I had Anderson all the way up to 32 coming into the week. He is definitely moving up past that. If you force me to take one, I would still take more, but it's getting really, really close with them. Anderson, 11 targets, 8 catches, 99 yards today, 6 targets, 4 catches for 49 yards for more. So
Dan, who would you rather have rest of the season, Robbie Anderson or Marquise Brown?
That's going to be the range, man. It's going to be Anderson when all is said and done. Almost without question. In fact, I'm not even sure. I'm trying to find exactly where I had them. They were right next to each other already. So Anderson is definitely moving up. Yeah, I've pushed Brown down a lot, and I like Brown a lot. I just don't. The expectation that I had of perhaps the great increase in passing volume just is not there right now. So I would rather fade Brown a little bit. So I would take Robbie Anderson because I pushed him up actually even before this. And it's going to be close, but Anderson's going to be a few spots ahead at least. Mike Davis, again, 16 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown, 6 targets, 5 catches, 27 yards through the air. Reggie Bonavon also factors in, 10 for 53 on the ground, 2 catches, 18 yards and a touchdown. So Tags, there was a little bit of talk in the preseason about how Matt Rhule kind of wanted to ease McCaffrey's workload just a little bit. Do you think there's any chance when McCaffrey comes back that Mike Davis still has a role enough to make him fantasy viable?
No, he might mix in with like 5 to 8 touches per game, which is going to be fine because McCaffrey never should have been touching the ball 25, 30 times a game. You're just going to wear him out at that point. But no, I think this is actually a good chance for you to go ahead and trade Mike Davis. Let's say you can go to a team that is struggled to start the year. They know that Christian McCaffrey is going to be out another, right now it's 2 to 4 weeks is the timetable we're expecting. So they think that they're going to get at least another 2 weeks of Mike Davis to plug in as a starting running back. If someone has running back troubles, I would bring Mike Davis to them and say, what do you want to give me in return? You play the long game. Maybe they have Christian McCaffrey and you can work out something where you're going to throw in. You're going to have to pay to get someone like that. But this is the opportunity you have to cash in on, because teams that have started 1-3 in fantasy football or teams that start 0-4, they have to go into all-out sell mode. They need players that can play right now. Mike Davis, you could sell the fact that they're going to be playing the Falcons this week, but then they're going to play the Bears after that. So it's like, I look to sell Mike Davis right now and cash in on that waiver wire acquisition.
All right, let's go to the Browns 49, Cowboys 38. We already talked about Beckham, but Nick Chubb with a knee injury early. I haven't seen anything on the severity of it. Tags, I don't know if you have, but right now, Kareem Hunt, 11 carries, 71 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Your leading rusher was actually Dearness Johnson, 13 for 95. But if Chubb misses time, Tags, how high do you put Hunt in your rankings?
Top 6 play. I mean, he's a true 3-down back. This week, we had to temper expectations, and some people are going to be worried because he did not finish the game with the most carries in this team. But it's because he was out of practice on Wednesday and Thursday, came back on Friday in a limited fashion. They said that he was going to try and gut it out and play this week with a groin injury. And I was worried that it was like the soft tissue coming in. That's a little worrisome. So I felt like they were going to ride Chubb for much of this game. But Hunt looked good when he got the ball. So I don't have too many worries about that. Dearness Johnson actually looked really good. You know, for a guy that nobody really knows, he looked really good behind that offensive line. He was patient. He had juke to him. He had some elusiveness. Like, there was things that I liked about watching him play football in that game. So if Chubb were to miss like extended periods of time and Hunt continues to miss some, you know, be limited in practice with his groin injury, Dearness Johnson might be someone that you could add in a pinch, because we're actually heading into bye weeks start in week 5.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. So let's not speculate. We'll leave that for the waiver wire show. But I agree with you that if Chubb does miss time, man, Hunt is going to be up there as a solid running back 1. For Dallas, I mean, Dak Prescott, 41 of 58 for 502 yards. Big day for Amari Cooper, 12 for 134 and a touchdown. Big day for CeeDee Lamb, 5 for 79 and 2 touchdowns. We talked about Dalton Schultz. How about Michael Gallup, though? That's what I alluded to earlier. 5 targets, 2 catches, 29 yards. I mean, are you concerned right now about Michael Gallup?
I am tired of ranking Cowboys wide receivers not named Amari Cooper. I am so tired of it, because honestly, it depends on what the defense comes with. It's what they bring to the table, like who they're going to focus their attention on stopping, what the game plan is for the Cowboys. And unfortunately, we don't have the ability to be inside that huddle and know exactly what's going to happen. But it seems like CeeDee Lamb is the safer option week in, week out. Michael Gallup's being used downfield. Amari Cooper is being used as a possession wide receiver and has been consistent as all hell. Like, he's a guy that, you know, over the course of his career, the knock on Amari, myself included, I'm like the biggest Amari fan, but in fantasy, he's been one of the most aggravating players to own ever. A lot of boom or bust performances, but this year has been nothing but consistency with the addition of CeeDee Lamb. So everybody's going to be dialed back. The fact that Michael Gallup has struggled as much as he has while Dak Prescott has thrown for almost 1,700 yards in 4 games is really concerning. So I don't think Michael Gallup's a wide receiver 3, guys. You know,
that is correct.
I was lower on him this week than the consensus, but I was also lower on CeeDee Lamb, which really sucks. But Gallup, I'm officially worried, and I think it's more like, I think Justin Jefferson might be worth more than him right now. And that's crazy, because I don't want to overreact, but at the same time, it's like, with all the production that's come from this pass attack and knowing that he hasn't gotten a whole lot, it's worrisome.
I don't think there's anything wrong with basically saying, I haven't seen it yet, so I'm willing to not start this guy until I see it. So I agree that he's going to be outside of the wide receiver 3 range. There was already a very small gap. I still had him ahead of CeeDee Lamb for rest of season, but it was like 2 spots difference in my rankings, and that's flipping. And now Gallup's got to go outside of wide receiver 3 range. I love his talent, but it's just whatever reason, it's not happening for him. So we're in agreement there. Vikings 31. Texans 23. We touched on the main thing from the Vikings, which was Justin Jefferson. We had been worried a little bit a couple of weeks ago about Dalvin Cook's volume, given where they were going, but 29 touches, 146 yards, and 2 scores. Alexander Mattison also finds the end zone. Adam Thielen, 10 targets, 8 catches, 114 yards, and a touchdown. I mean, anything other than the Jefferson thing, I think it's, you know, your Cook is a top 5 back, and Adam Thielen is, I still think, like, basically a wide receiver 1. Any other takeaways?
No. And the nice thing about Jefferson is that he doesn't have to see a whole lot of targets to deliver a wide receiver three type performance. He only saw five targets in this game, but finished with 103 yards. He's stretching the field from the slot. It's that big slot receiver. He presents a mismatch. So, yeah, he's in wide receiver four territory for me now. I'm not going to say he's an every week wide receiver three, but he's climbing.
Yep. In agreement. It's not pretty. In Houston, tags. Watson does throw for two touchdowns. One to Fuller, seven targets, six catches, 108 yards and a touchdown. One to Kenny Stills, four targets, two catches, 39 yards and a touchdown. We talked about Brandon Cooks already. But the big question here then, other than Cooks, is really David Johnson. I think we were all eyeing this game as sort of the bounce back game, hopefully, for David Johnson. It looks like he got a little banged up at the end. I haven't seen anything on it, but 16 for 63 on the ground, 2 for 29 in the air. Duke Johnson returns here, gets 9 touches. I mean, are you continuing to start David Johnson as an RB2?
Depending on matchup, it's like expectations, right? It's almost like in the Kenyon Drake thing right now for me with David Johnson. I think that those guys are in the same tier. I don't think they're exciting to play any week because this Houston Texans offense just isn't doing what you thought it would do this year. Even Deshaun Watson, not running the ball. I think through 4 weeks now, he has 16 carries on the year. Cam Newton had 15 in week one. Like, why? Bill O'Brien, I would imagine he's gone sooner rather than later, but he's the own GM. How does that work?
I don't think you can fire yourself. I don't think that's
I don't think
works,
he's going to fire himself, but the owner's got to step up and do something because this is we all knew all along that Houston was not a team that was built to win for this year, but he was trading like they were. Trading for Brandon Cooks, trading for David Johnson, trading away DeAndre Hopkins. Without DeAndre Hopkins, Deshaun Watson's looked like a different quarterback, but fortunately, the matchup they have this coming week is against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and all will be forgiven.
Well, we'll see. We thought this would be a matchup that they would be able to exploit, so the fact that they weren't is a little worrisome. And again, I do think the big thing with Watson is I was willing to largely, not completely, but largely write off the loss of DeAndre Hopkins because I thought that it would manifest itself with more rushing attempts. I thought that is how for Watson. I thought that was what was going to be the difference. And so I did drop him where I would have had him had they still had Hopkins. But that was where I really thought that the difference would be. And the fact that it hasn't been is really worrisome. So yeah, this is the first game where I'm officially actually worried about Deshaun Watson. Let's go now to Seattle. Oh man, I lost the score. But Seattle defeated Miami.
31-23.
31-23. Thank you. I don't know what I was doing there. Chris Carson plays, you know, from out 1 to 2 weeks to Carlos Hyde being the really exciting waiver wire pickup to Chris Carson playing, Carlos Hyde inactive. Carson plays well, 19 touches, 100 yards, 2 scores. He does have a fumble, but he did not lose it. Yay. I mean, DK Metcalf goes over 100 yards. Russell Wilson throws for 360 and 2. One to David Moore, one to Travis Homer. Only real downer in this game is Tyler Lockett, which I'm not sure if he was shut out the first half. 4 targets, 2 catches, 39 yards. But I just assume that that's just something that we could say, oh, well, one of those games and move on.
Yep. He's a top 12 wide receiver for me. Was coming in. I'm not moving him. This is a game that anybody can have. Tyreek Hill's going to have games like this too. People aren't going to panic. Russell Wilson's on pace for like 550 passing attempts. So knowing that he's doing that with the efficiency he throws with, there's two wide receiver ones in this offense. I'm willing to buy Tyler Lockett after this slow game. It was just an off game for them altogether. They did travel from the West Coast to the East Coast, played an early game. So there's some things that could be factored into that, but I'm not worried about Tyler Lockett.
Definitely not the bonanza that we all kind of hoped that it would be. Also, I never said that Chris Carson would probably miss the next 2 weeks because they have their bye week in 3 weeks from now. I never said that. You will never find that. Producer, go erase that from wherever I said that before. For the Dolphins, Fitz was everybody's favorite streamer this week. He throws 2 picks, but he does throw for 315 yards. He rushes for 47. He does rush for a touchdown. Devontae Parker left early with an ankle injury, but came back. 12 targets, 10 catches, 110 yards. I think this is just going to be the Devontae Parker thing right now. He's going to look gimpy. He's going to leave for a minute, and then he's going to come back and still put up a decent line. Miles Gaskin, just 13 touches, 62 yards. I saw Matt Breida on the field a little bit more than I kind of wanted to. Meanwhile, Preston Williams, just 1 catch for 15. Mike Gesicki, 3 targets, 1 catch, 15. Really disappointing, especially for Gesicki. Disappointing day just overall kind of here for the Dolphins tags. Any takeaways other than it's just one of these sloppy games for both teams?
Yeah, it just sucks. It really sucks because this is a game that I really thought could supply some fireworks. Mike Gesicki was a big letdown. Preston Williams was a big letdown. Coming into this game, the Seahawks had allowed 9 wide receivers to finish as the wide receiver 31 or better against them. They were without Jamal Adams. So there was a lot of reasons to like the Dolphins pass attack in this one. Unfortunately, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick just had one of those not so great days. It happens.
He had the bad fits. It was the bad fits. You get the good fits, you get the bad fits. You got the bad fits. Yeah, no, I agree. Really disappointing and surprising given how weak Seattle's pass defense was. But it is what it is. Move on. And next week they're taking on the 49ers. So we'll see how that goes. Bengals 33, Jaguars 25. We already talked about Joe Mixon. Can you drop AJ Green tags?
I hope you feel like the pain in my heart when you ask me that question. I'm not willing to drop him yet, and I know that that's probably against what other people would say to do, but he was a guy that was getting a whole lot of air yards before this game. This was a positive game script, you know, for the second half. He did see 5 targets. I don't know, man. I'm so torn on what to do with AJ Green because I don't want to sit here and say that I'm not worried. I am, but who am I dropping him for? That's the question. Am I going to drop him for a player like, you know, Hunter Renfrow? No. Not going to do that. Are you going to drop him for someone like Cole Beasley? Probably not.
All right. Let me put a pin on it. Would you drop him for T. Higgins? 7 targets, 4 catches, 77 yards.
No, I'm not there yet. I mean, I probably should be, but I'm not.
I think you're fine. I'm not there yet either. I just want to make it clear. I am with you. It's fine. I'm not ready to drop him. He is in the category now of if you did drop him, I wouldn't be like, whoa, somebody dropped AJ Green, you know, which I still would have been in before this week. Yeah, he was a little banged up at points during this game. You know, he was holding his wrist or something like that. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not
just
great.
Not working right now. And Higgins looked good. And he's in there and he's getting more involved. And Tyler Boyd is, you know, 7 catches, 90 yards, firmly in the circle of trust at this point. So yeah, I'm not going to say to drop him. And I agree with you. I'm not there to drop him for a streaming option like a Beasley or a Renfrow. But yeah, if you have to, I'm okay with it. But I would try to hold if I could. For the Jaguars, I think this is basically, you know, you wipe out last week. This is essentially what you can expect from the Jaguars. Robinson, 21 touches, 107 total yards. DJ Chark, 9 targets, catches 8 of them, 95 yards, 2 touchdowns. Maybe not expect that every week, but Minshew, 351 yards, 2 touchdowns, a pick. Laviska Shenault gets more involved, 91 total yards. This to me felt like, okay, yeah, this is what I thought the Jaguars are basically going to do most weeks, and now I feel like I can forget about the Miami game. What about you?
Yeah, James Robinson. I mean, I said it 2 weeks ago now. I said, what's the difference between James Robinson and 2019 Leonard Fournette? And because, like, in terms of the workload that he's getting, he's now totaled 74 of the 88 running back touches in this backfield. That is unheard of. Like, that just doesn't happen in today's NFL. The only running back that's averaged more yards per route run than James Robinson is Alvin Kamara. So he's getting it done on both ends. This team trusts him. Raekwon Armstead doesn't, I don't know if he just got lost. Maybe he went on the COVID list and just, like, drifted away. I don't know what happened, but he's not there. Dare Ogunbowale, they signed him. He hasn't been on the field. Chris Thompson's, like, literally just, he's in the background. He's not even there.
Right. But Robinson's earned this at this point.
He has.
Right? I mean, he's playing really well.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying. Like, so going into this week, they're going to be playing against Houston. He's going to be an RB1 in my rankings.
Ooh. All right. Okay. I'm not sure whether or not I'm there yet, but I'm not sure I'm not there yet. I mean, Tags, you actually had him 24th still coming into this week. He was 16th. In my rankings. I mean, where is he rest of season for
you? Keep worrying that Raekwon Armstead is going to come back and they're going to...
What? Stop worrying about Raekwon Armstead.
I was, but I've changed my mind and I've moved him up. Now he's RB18 on the rest of the season.
All right, I will accept
so
that.
So I've gone up. I keep that. Moving him up and it's just like, I want to know when I'm going to stop because it's still a bad football team. Like, we can't forget that.
It's true. Yeah, but you can't ignore the volume and the fact that he's been that effective. So, all right, 18 is good. I will accept that. Let's go on to Ravens 31.
I will accept that.
But you will. If not, we would still talk about it. Ravens 31, Washington football team 17. This is, again, like what you expected from Jacksonville. This is kind of what you expected from Baltimore. Lamar Jackson throws 2 touchdown passes, both to Mark Andrews. Only sees 3 targets, but this is kind of Mark Andrews. Jackson also rushes for a score, 53 yards. We can talk a little bit more about the running backs. We touched on it earlier. Mark Ingram, 8 for 34 on the ground. He does find the end zone. Hollywood Brown, better game, 8 targets, 4 catches, 86 yards. I mean, Tags, we talk about this every week, so I guess we'll just talk about it one more week. What do you feel comfortable with any Ravens running back? And if so, which one?
No. I mean, if you're going to start one, I guess it's Mark Ingram, but I don't feel good about it. Because again, you mentioned at the top, he's capped at 10 carries. He's not getting more than that. And there's multiple, like, red zone running backs. Lamar Jackson is a red zone running back himself. Mark Ingram is there. Gus Edwards is a guy that should have had a lot more touchdowns last year than he did. J.K. Dobbins, his role should only grow in the NFL. I hate it. I don't even like the receiving corps because, like, Marquise Brown was someone that I received a lot of crap on my ranking of Marquise Brown this preseason. I had him at wide receiver 32 or 33 or something like that. And I was like, he's a wide receiver 3 to me that you're hoping he takes a step forward. But Lamar Jackson, I watched a lot of this game. He did not look good, and he hasn't looked good this season. His accuracy down the field is way off, and it's not just missing guys. It's missing them by multiple yards. So I don't know if the confidence just needs to come back, if he needs one of those games, whatever the case may be. But for now, Marquise Brown is a guy that, if you look at his like last 16 games, you're looking at a guy that tops 50 yards, like I think in maybe like two or three of those games. It's not great.
Yeah. If he had had a poor game today, he would have been on What's Your Problem, Man, because we're pretty far apart. And I was high. We're like the opposite tags. I was pretty high on him coming in. I liked him. I thought there would be progression in terms of the pass attempts and just Brown's natural, you know, progression as a receiver. And I basically have moved all the way off him now. I ranked him okay this week, but was 35th coming into the week for me, even coming into the week. And it's just, he didn't have a bad game here or anything like that. I kind of was hoping for more, but yeah, you can't trust this, you know, anybody except Andrews. And even Andrews, you can't trust. And I mean, you're starting Andrews, of course, as a top tight end, but you can't really trust him because he's had 4 weeks and two of them have been basically invisible. I realize he dropped the touchdown pass last week. Two of them have been huge. Two of them have been basically invisible. So it's just, you know, for the passing game, it's just not something that you can really rely on in Baltimore. For Washington, thank you, Terry McLaurin, because in my Instagram start sit this morning, I must have answered 60 questions about Terry McLaurin and whether or not to start him. And I said, I'm not super excited about it necessarily, but I'm going to start him over all these options that are like the, you know, the guys who you're like, well, do I do Terry McLaurin or do I do the Brandon Cooks types of the world? And I was like, no, we're not at that point yet, regardless of the matchup. 14 targets, 10 catches, 118 yards. Antonio Gibson also comes through big time, 128 total yards and a touchdown. Really good to see against a tough defense. So is Gibson for you just locked and loaded every week starter now?
Absolutely. Yes. This is the game he earned it. This is the game where like he separated himself, and we knew that was going to come. It was just a matter of time. Haskins actually played a competent game considering the opponent. But the biggest thing for me, Dan, I just want to say, what's your problem, man? We talked about it on the waiver wire show, and you like you like bad football players on bad football teams, and you like Logan Thomas sucks.
I never even said that. I never said Logan Thomas. I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Just throw it back at me and say AJ Green sucks because he did even worse.
Okay, can I ask you something? Can I ask you something? Who scored more fantasy points this week, Logan Thomas or the guy that Yates wanted to pick up, Eric Ebron? Logan Thomas. Winner. Let's move on.
I had Gronk, so that was even better.
That's true. We all are terrible, apparently, at picking up waiver wire tight ends. This week, if Logan Thomas is listed, I'm not going to. Don't bother. But, you know, we'll see. Maybe in 2 weeks, I'll be back on the trade. Rams 17, Giants 9. Survivor pools everywhere. Breathe a big sigh of relief here in a game that was much closer than people expected. But it's the running backs. Let's talk about them. Malcolm Brown, 15 touches for 56 yards. Henderson, 9 touches. 38 yards. Malcolm Brown, 61% of the snaps. Henderson, 39% of the snaps. WTF tags. I don't know. What do we do with this?
This was the worst set of afternoon games I've ever seen. I am being completely honest. I was able to watch all of them. I have enough screens to watch all of them. There was only 3 games on. They were all terrible. This was the worst one of yet. Like, it was so bad. And to know that Darrell Henderson, I ranked him as a top 15 running back. I think I had him at RB15 this week.
Me too.
Oh, it's so disappointing to see this. And it was fast, too. Like, the game was just, it ended like a full hour before the other games did, too. It did. So it was like, put me out of my misery. Just a bad game overall. Like,
what is this, though? I mean, walk me through. You're Sean McVay. Congratulations. You have a much better life than either one of us had 20 minutes ago. Why are you doing this when Darrell Henderson looked really, really good the last 2 weeks? What is the impetus behind changing it up like this?
I don't know. It's kind of what McVay does. And it's going back to last season when people said that Higbee broke out and that's why he was going to be great going forward. It was like, well, wait a minute. McVay is consistently changing that offense. He's doing things differently. But this one was really upsetting because it really is playing into, and I should have remembered this, right? We talked about it when Malcolm Brown was the week one waiver wire darling. And I said, I don't want him. I didn't want him on the waiver wire then. I didn't want him now. I said, like, so McVay has talked about wanting to be Kyle Shanahan this year, that he wants to play a hot hand and he wants to do this and he wants to do that. Teams can't prepare for it, yada, yada, yada. But when Cam Akers is out, I was like, I'm in on Henderson. Malcolm Brown is just a guy. Instead, let's give him a lot of the passing down work. Let's give him more carries and all that. I'm just mad.
I think the biggest thing for me is, like, I'm okay with that if, like, Henderson comes out and you're like, oh, man, it's not working with Henderson. Not working for the first couple of drives. Like, let's just go to Brown. Let's see what it is. But, no, this was like, hi, we're going to come out and we're going to just start, basically. I mean, To be fair, I was not watching this, like, straight, like, nonstop from the get-go. But it seemed like Brown was involved almost immediately. So, you know, I just makes no sense. But regardless, I think that's the last time you or I will consider ranking a Rams running back in the top 15 for the week or anything like that, because you just can't. There's no way you can feel comfortable with it. And I don't want to see, I don't want to talk about a Rams running back on the waiver wire show, okay? Because I'm ranking them low no matter what, ever.
No, let's not do that. But by the way,
ever again,
there's concerns about Higbee too. Like, I mentioned that in the primer this week, and I was lower on him. I had him at tight end 10 this week. I didn't like him. His consensus, I think, was tight end four, but he's not running a whole lot of routes, guys. So basically it's touchdown or bust for someone like him, unless things change up. It's definitely worrisome.
Yeah, this is bad. I mean, 3 for 21 for Higbee. A bad game all around for the pass catchers, except for Cooper Kupp, who catches the long 55-yard touchdown pass. But, you know, Robert Woods, 6 catches, good, I guess, but 35 yards. Just a bad day for anybody who played in that game or anybody who watched that game. It was just a bad day. Not good. It's probably Malcolm Brown's fault. Let's go to the Giants. Devonta Freeman, 68 total yards. Okay. Wayne Gallman was more effective on the ground, 6 carries for 45 yards. Your leading receiver is Darius Slayton with 48 yards. Can you just bench all Giants and be done with it, or what?
Darius Slayton's still someone that I'm not going to give up on. He's still getting the targets. He's had 2 really tough matchups the last 2 weeks, so it just coincided with the fact that Sterling Shepard's out. You're walking into that top dog role, and you're going to draw the top cornerback because of that. I thought Devonta Freeman looked pretty good in terms of, like, what he actually looked like on the field. Nothing, not like outrageous, not like he's a guy that you need to run out and trade for or anything like that. I thought he looked fine. Wayne Gallman was the guy that I really thought they should have gone with moving forward once Saquon Barkley went down, because he's a 3-down back. He's competent. He's whatever. You don't have to pay him any more money. But the Giants are the Giants, and they're doing whatever they're doing, and they're 0-4. It's not a team that you really want any part of if you can help it.
Nope. I mean, yeah, Slayton, fine, I guess, if you absolutely have to. Other than that, no, just run away. I will admit, though, because I've been very down on Freeman, that especially as a pass catcher, which is what he really did last year to save his value, he looked okay. So if you have to, you know, you're getting almost 70 yards where we are with running backs, you can live with that. Let's go to Bills 30, Raiders 23. I think this is what a down game looks like now from Josh Allen, and it's still 288 yards, 2 touchdowns, plus a rushing touchdown. So he just continues to get it done. Zach Moss, I kind of thought Zach Moss was going to play. I don't know about you. I was a little surprised when he was inactive, but he wasn't active. And Devin Singletary, 18 for 55 on the ground with the touchdown. He also catches 5 passes for 21 yards. Stephon Diggs, 6 for 115. John Brown, 4 for 42. You get touchdowns for Cole Beasley and for Gabriel Davis. How do you feel here about the Buffalo offense? I mean, any concerns or just basically business as usual?
No, the matchup was actually pretty tough. The Raiders have been pretty good against the pass this year, and it was like, okay, let's see how Josh Allen does here. And there was no way you were going to bench him with the way he's playing. So the 288 yards that he threw for in this game would have been his career high if this game had played in week one. That just goes to show
that's
you.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, it's crazy.
That's what I'm saying.
It's nuts. I mean, he did get dinged up in the game a little bit, but it appears to be okay.
Yeah. That was his left arm or his left shoulder, but he came out and he played for the rest of the game, right?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs, obviously, he's a guy that you're ranking as probably a top 18 wide receiver for the rest of the year. And if you want to rank him top 12, it's hard to argue with you with the way that Josh Allen's playing. But John Brown there, obviously, he escaped the injury report. It only shows 4 catches for 42 yards with him, but one should have probably been a touchdown that they...
Yeah, did they not? This is when we were preparing
they didn't
for it.
Give I him, thought they were they didn't give it to him. It was crap.
Ridiculous.
It was crap.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was bad. But Devin Singletary gets it done with a touchdown inside the 5, which is something that we have not seen from Devin. That was like the first time we ever saw a carry inside the 5 for him that resulted in a touchdown. So
how do you feel about Devin Singletary once Moss comes back?
I mean, Moss.
Because I assume that Moss is going to be back next week, yeah, because we assumed he was going to be back this week.
Right. I think you have to like Singletary as like a high-end RB3, maybe even low-end RB2, because Moss has like lost it. In terms of Singletary, what he's looked like the last couple of weeks, I think he's looked good, and I think he's earned that role. Whereas Zach Moss, the knock on him coming out of college, for me, I loved his talent, but it was always, can he stay on the field? And it was always a problem in college, and now it's a problem in the pros. So Devin Singletary, his stock keeps going up.
Yep, no, I agree with that. Borderline RB2, probably, you know, high-end RB3, I think is probably right. Weird game for the Raiders. You know, they couldn't run. That's sort of what you expected. You expected Jacobs to probably have a good game as they kind of pounded on the ground, took advantage of the weak spot on Buffalo's defense, but just 73 total yards. Darren Waller had a much better game, I think, than I expected. 12 targets, 9 catches for 88 yards. Hunter Renfrow quiet the whole day until garbage time. 8 targets, 5 catches for 57 yards. Nelson Agholor does catch a touchdown pass, and I think he got another one that was overturned eventually or held back by a penalty. Jason Witten also catches a touchdown pass. I don't know, Tags. I mean, I'm not sure really what there is to talk about. They were down, of course, Henry Ruggs. I mean, Hunter Renfrow was a streamer this week. I don't know if you want to talk about that or whether or not you want to talk about the fact that Jacobs really, since his ginormous first game, has not been overly impressive. And he always looks like he's about to come off the field with an injury to me.
Yeah, I when I was doing my draft research, this was kind of like the Josh Jacobs that I was worried about on the team that is not necessarily the greatest. I don't like the play calling so much, what they do there. He is involved in the passing game a little bit more than he was last year. But I always knew that week one game against Carolina, I'm like, people are going to love Josh Jacobs. They're going to draft him and they're going to be like, I told you, you were wrong on Josh Jacobs. But since then, it's been like it's been a mess, and they're still using Jalen Richard. They're still using Devontae Booker for whatever reason. So do I think he's a buy, though? Probably. I do. I just think that this team is lacking so many options right now that teams are basically able to key in and say, hey, we slow down Jacobs. We're winning this football game. And that's what the Bills did today. The Bills have traditionally, under Sean McDermott, they've actually struggled against the run a lot more than people understand. They've really played the pass well. So I did expect Josh Jacobs to give you an RB1 type week. Unfortunately, that didn't happen.
Yeah, no, they looked good. I mean, I watched that game closer than the other 4 o'clock games. They look good. I mean, Jacobs, it's really wasn't his fault. He was getting swarmed pretty consistently. So yeah, I agree. I'm a little starting to get a little concerned, mostly at the fact that he always looks like, I don't know, he was stretching something out. It just, he always looks like he's battling through injury at this point, and they are willing to give away touches to him. So I'm a little worried about him, but yeah, as we've talked about, running back depth is just not something that you can run from. Final game, save the best for last. Colts 19, Bears 11. Let's talk running backs here for the Colts to start. You mentioned last week against the Jets that Jonathan Taylor didn't look all that good. Now, I poo-pooed it. I was like, he was probably disinterested. I watched some of this game, probably not as close as you did. He does end up with 17 for 68 on the ground. That's fine, but he didn't really look all that good during the game. He just kind of ran into the pile half the time, just like you said he would last week. And he also gave away so many touches. I mean, he had 17 carries. Nyheim Hines and Jordan Wilkins had 18 carries on the day. So break down how you feel about the Indianapolis running back.
It's almost like the Colts knew something that we don't. In terms of, like, you know, when Marlon Mack started the year and they had Nyheim Hines in the field so much, it's not to say that Jonathan Taylor is not any good. I'm just saying that he does not look special on the field right now. He doesn't. There's nothing that screams, Jonathan Taylor, we can't go away from you. And he has given them no reason. I think Jordan Wilkins, his stats don't show it, but Jordan Wilkins looks like he's actually making something when there's nothing to be there. He also might dance a little bit too much where he's not as downhill as they'd like. But, yeah, it's a little worrisome because people were saying Jonathan Taylor was a top five running back once Marlon Mack went down. It was like, oh, hands down. But he doesn't look like a top five running back right now.
No, he doesn't. I was one of those people. I thought this was going to be an absolute smash play for the rest of the year. But yeah, I mean, the Bears have a strong defense, but he didn't look good last week. If he doesn't score a touchdown, I don't think you're going to get the monstrous performances that you want. And I don't really think it's all that bad that they're giving these touches to Hines or Wilkins because, yeah, the numbers don't back it up. But it kind of works in the context of when they're doing it. Pass catchers, Tags. Look, Zach Pascal sees the most targets, 8, catches 3 for 58. The next leading receiver is T.Y. Hilton, 5 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. Mo Alie-Cox does catch a touchdown. What are you doing with T.Y. Hilton that we talk about every single week and Yates yells at me? What are we doing with him at this point? Well, legitimately, because I've been his biggest defender.
Yep.
And I think I'm done defending. And whether or not it's him or whether or not it's Phillip Rivers or whatever it is, it's just, I don't think I can do it anymore.
Well, to be fair, we did talk about him being a sit this week against the Bears. It was a terrible matchup. We did not like him. I had him outside my top 36 wide receivers. It wasn't a good matchup, but he did get behind Kyle Fuller, and it would have been a long touchdown, but Fuller held him and was willing to take the pass interference penalty and basically just raised his hand like, yep, that's on me. So it could have been a bigger day for T.Y. Hilton, but it's not great. I mean, this team just doesn't want to throw the ball a whole lot, and it doesn't help that the Colts defense is like the best defense in football right now in terms of points allowed to their opponents. So if they're not allowing a whole lot of points, they're not going to have Phillip Rivers pass the ball a whole lot. I don't think he's reached 30 pass attempts since week one, has he?
No, I mean, their defense is legit and is playing extremely well. And Rivers is not playing well when he does have to pass the ball. So I don't think there's reason to do it if you can avoid doing it. I would love it if that translated into more running attempts for Taylor, but whatever. It's just frustrating to watch, as are the Bears tags. Nick Foles was not the savior, as you essentially said. Dave Montgomery, 10 for 27. Again, tough defense. On the ground, he does get 30 yards through the air. Allen Robinson, a lot of it in garbage time, 10 targets, 7 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Talk about the Bears and whatever you want to say about the Bears
right now. My wife came down right before I was about to start recording. She goes, I'm going to go to the store. You need anything? And I said, a quarterback. She's like, there might be something better there than we've seen on the TV. Nick Foles, there was not a signature throw in this game that you could walk away and say anything good about. It was all bad. The Bears running Cordarrelle Patterson on 3rd and 1, giving him a handoff because Matt Nagy just gets too cute too much. Giving David Montgomery 10 carries in a game that was a one possession game for a long period of time. I don't know. The Bears are just not very good. And I have no idea how this team is 3-1 because it's going to lead to them not getting a great draft pick unless they just continue to lose. But Nick Foles was never the answer. It's just aggravating. I guess the good thing is that he targeted Allen Robinson 10 times.
Yeah. Okay, so you're still starting Allen Robinson locked in. You're still starting Montgomery. I should give actual fantasy advice. You're still starting Montgomery as an RB2 going forward?
Most. I don't love it. I would rather take Le'Veon Bell.
Okay. All right. Well, I am going to end on that note because I think saying something good about Jets and the fact that my team played a more enjoyable game than yours this week is something that I can just, you know, hang my hat on for the rest of the week. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks again to Pristine Auction. Don't just take my word for it. Go to pristineauction.com. Thousands of auctions every day. Pristine auction.com. Thanks also to Prize Picks. Remember, get 100% match on your first deposit up to $100. Just go to prizepicks.com or use the Prize Picks app and use code PROS. We'll be back tomorrow talking about waiver wire. I'll talk to you then.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.